Good morning. The scripture reading for today will be taken from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the ones who prosper in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. God bless the reading of his word. Please be seated.
Thank you, sister. Good morning. My name is Jason, one of the pastors here at Grace, and I will be opening up the word with you this morning. If you would, it's going to help if you open up a copy for yourself of God's word. So please open up to Psalm 37. And in just a moment, we will go through the scriptures that we just read together. Before, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we acknowledge that you're speaking to us. You're speaking through your word, your spirit, your people, through creation itself. Father, give us hearts that are ready to hear from you. Give us ears ready to understand what you say. Give us hands and feet ready to obey you. Father, we want to be a people that glorify your name, that delight in you, that fret not. God, continue to do your work among us. We pray that this time would be set aside for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. I really enjoy camping. There's many great things about camping. Sleeping on the floor is not one of them. As I get older, that's the worst part of camping, but I like the other parts of camping. But my favorite part about camping is waking up as soon as the sun comes up in the morning, going out to the fire pit where we've had a bonfire the night before, and trying to stoke the fire from the ashes the night before. So let me walk you through this in case you haven't tried this before. So you get a stick and you start messing up the ashes. You start stirring them around to see if you can get some kind of spark. And then you have kindling with you. You have some fire starter, not lighting fluid. That's for amateurs. But like wood and fire starter and things like that. You look for a little ash. You start to rebuild your fire. And you hope that you can get a spark that catches and you can start a fire from the fire the night you had before. And when I am successful in doing this, I feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Look at what I have created. I never feel more one with nature, more powerful, like someone who didn't flunk out of Cub Scouts. Feel so good about myself when I'm able to do that. This is fun in camping, but the psalmist today in Psalm 37 is going to say, don't do that. Don't do that. Here's what I mean. As we open up the scriptures this morning in Psalm 37, we read this phrase three times in the first eight verses. Fret not because of evildoers. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Literally, in Hebrew, there is a word picture here. And it's the word picture of something kindling inside of you. There's a spark, and it's growing. That's the word that the psalmist is using for fret. He's saying, don't kindle worry. Don't feed worry. Don't fan worry. Don't give oxygen to worry in your life. we see that that's the primary purpose of this psalm, which is much longer than these 11 verses, but it's really the theme of the entire psalm. Before we can talk about how not to fret and talk about what to do instead of fretting, we first need to answer the question, do we fret? Do we fret? I want to remove the word fret for a moment because maybe that has different connotations in your mind. And I want to just go through and make sure that we all understand that we fret. Because this morning, when the psalmist says, fret not, fret not, fret not, if we don't fret, we might as well close in prayer and go home. So, do we fret? Let's answer that question together. Here's some ways that we fret. First, we fret in big ways. This is what David is doing in the psalm. He sees evildoers prospering. He sees nations that do not honor God, that in fact are very wicked. They're idolatrous. They do heinous things. And he sees them, quote unquote, prospering. He sees them winning. He's fretting when he sees evildoers seemingly receiving the promises that are reserved for God's people. We fret in big ways when we open up the news. We fret about all the different things that are going on in our world, or maybe even in our country or in our community. We fret when we see evil seemingly prosper. A couple of guys I overheard in the staff offices this week talking about this report that AI is going to basically take over everything. It's going to be like iRobot by 2027. Now you're going to fret for the next 18 months and the next 31 minutes of this sermon about AI taking over your life. We fret about big things. We also fret about small things. There's small things that we fret about. I lose my keys almost every single day, and then I fret until I find them. I finally put an AirTag on my wallet because I was tired of trying to find my wallet every single day. We fret over being late for something. We fret that we're going to forget something when we go to work. We fret that we don't have what we need for the day. We fret about small things. We fret about, oh no, I didn't plan lunch. We're going to get home right as lunch and the kids are going to be crabby and I'm going to be crabby and what are we going to eat for lunch? We fret in small ways. We fret when we can't concentrate on the thing right in front of us, because our mind is elsewhere fretting on something else, or we're just distracted and we can't just focus on what is right in front of us. We're fretting. We fret through anxious dreams. Have you ever had a dream where you wake up the next day and you're like, that was the weirdest dream. Why did I dream that? But it was full of anxiety about the weirdest things. I had one of these last night. I had an anxious, fretting dream last night. I know the reason for it, but I don't know exactly the anxiety behind it. We had a garter snake under our front porch. And I dreamed last night there was a python that was big enough to eat me. That's fretting. That's fretting. It showed up in my dreams. I hate snakes. I really hate snakes. We fret about how other people see us. What will people think? How are people looking at me? What are people thinking about me? We fret with obsessive thoughts over big things and small things. We dwell on and focus on things. Because of how much we use them, have you ever had that moment where you feel like your phone is vibrating in your pocket and your phone is not in your pocket? We're in many ways addicted to dopamine, the happy chemicals in our brain that we get from flashy images, from substances that make us happy in the moment. We fret over big things. We fret over small things. We don't realize we're fretting because we don't fret over the things that other people fret about. We just fret about the things we fret about. We fret about inflation. We fret about the stock market. A member of my family gets multiple text updates because he has a flip phone. He gets multiple text updates a day on the price of corn. Anybody off the hook? Everybody find something they fret about? I've been on staff here at Grace for 19 years. I've served in a number of different roles, but my first role was youth pastor here at Grace, working with junior high and high school students. And my wife and I took the youth group kids to the Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball game. And during the baseball game, we heard some chatter going on, and the high school students were planning on camping out back of the church in tents after the Colonels game. We were going to get back to the church at like 10, 10:30. Then they were going to set up tents. And because my wife and I were young then, we were like, sure, why not? Let's camp with the kids in the backyard. I cannot fathom doing that now. But when I was 26, it was a different story. So we hang out with them for a little while. We try to stay awake. We build a bonfire. We make some s'mores. And we're like, guys, we're going to bed. We hate to be the old people, but we're going to go to bed. So we go to bed. We finally fall asleep. And then I wake up, open up one eye, and all I see is that it's light outside. This is well after midnight at this point. I'm like, what is going on? And then the next thing I hear is, do you think we should call the fire department? And then my wife starts shaking me. We got to get up. We got to get up. We step out. We unzip the door. We step out, and there is flames going all the way up to the tree line out back of the church. People used to just dump junk on the other side of the stream at the back of our property. And someone had taken like a huge lattice work where you would plant vines and they would go up over it. It was about this tall, about this big. It had been back there for a long time, nice and dry. They had thrown it on the fire. It went up immediately. Woof! And I thought we were going to burn the church down and I was going to be looking for a job. The things we do when we fret often just fan the flame of the worry that is already inside of us. And when we start doing multiple of these things, when we are fretting about big things or small things, and then we give in to that dopamine addiction, that self-perception, that obsession that we have with the things of this world, we are just fanning into flame the fretting and worry that is inside of us. Have you ever been fretting and you want to take your mind off things? So you start scrolling through your phone and then you realize it's been 20 minutes. Don't you feel so much better after that 20 minutes? No, you don't. You pass the time at best, and at worst, it just makes the fretting worse. You're pouring lighter fluid, gasoline. You're giving air to that fretting. We're not talking here about just being concerned about things. Fretting is when we fan the flame of worry and anxiety in our life. So what does the psalmist have for us today? Verses 1 and 2, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. David is fretting. He sees evildoers winning. He sees the promises. No one knew the promises of God better than David, but he sees them coming true in the wicked. God said, if you live righteously, then you will prosper. Then he sees people doing evil and he sees them prospering. And he says, what gives? What gives? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the opposite of fretting. Instead of fretting, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the things that you need. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus puts it this way. He says, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things that you're worried about will be added unto you." This is the opposite of fretting. It's having your mind in the right place. It's trusting in the Lord and doing good. So how do we do it? David makes it sound so easy. We read these verses. This is one of many people's favorite passage in the Bible. But what is he getting at? What is he asking us to do? So we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about how do we not fret. First, we're told to trust and do good. So I have two versions of verse 3 up here on the screen. The top one is from the ESV that we had in our scripture reading that I'm reading from this morning. The bottom is the literal translation from the Hebrew. And I don't know what the translators were thinking, but the English in the ESV, NIV, whatever popular translation you're using, butchers this and makes it so soft. This is what the Hebrew says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Stay in safe pasture and harvest the Lord's faithfulness. That is awesome. We are staying in the safe pasture that our good shepherd gives us, and we are harvesting his faithfulness. We're not going out to the field to see if there's a drought or to see if the crops are coming up. We're not getting texts telling us if our corn is going to be worth anything. We're harvesting the Lord's faithfulness. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. God has designed things so that we trust him for the things that we need. We stay in safe pastures. The good shepherd feeds us. Then we have enough that we can provide for other people. And then we're too busy to fret. When we are busy about what God has asked us to do, we have less and less time to fret. When we are obedient, when we are faithful, when we are staying in safe pasture, when we're filling our minds with things above, when we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, when we are trusting him and doing good, we don't have as much time to fret. Delight yourself in the Lord. We're going to be talking more about what that means. We're going to be talking more about seeking first the kingdom of God as we open up the scriptures and study the Sermon on the Mount this upcoming school year. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we are fanning the flame of the Spirit of God in our life. Paul's instructions to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy and in chapter 1. "For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." When we trust in the Lord and do good, when we delight ourselves in him, when we taste of his rich food, when we stay in his safe pastures, we fan the flame of the Spirit of God. Next, be still. Be still. Fretting is the opposite of being still. Fretting is the opposite of being still. I have a very hard time sitting still. I was at parent-teacher conferences. We were supposed to be talking about my third grader. And we're like talking about my third grader's math scores. And we're taking a look at the things he's colored and all the things at parent-teacher conferences. And the teacher just stops what she's doing. And she looks at me and says, "Do you have attention problems?" I'm like, "We are here to talk about my third grader." And yes, I do. My body is just constantly like fretting. I've had to literally work hard and watch myself on video to keep from preaching like this. This is what I look like when I preach. Being still is the opposite of fretting. Staying in safe pastures is the opposite of wandering around looking for something to eat. We have everything that we need. When we are still before the Lord, He fills us up. We are so scared of silence and being still because we're afraid of what we will see and hear. But when we are still, we can hear from the God who is constantly speaking to us. Third, we need to have an eternal perspective. Again, Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He provides for the lilies of the field. He provides for the birds of the air. Won't He take care of you? He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single thing to your life? I have lived the majority of my life thinking that if I just think hard enough and long enough about my problem, I can solve it. It has never worked. I am 0 for 1,000,000. That's a bad average. I never figure it out by just sitting and thinking. It's only when I trust in the Lord and do good, it's only when I have the right perspective that God says, okay, now you're listening. Now I can tell you what you need to do. Having an eternal perspective. In Psalm 37:10, David talks a little bit about this. He says, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the earth. In just a little while, David has the right perspective. He's living for eternity. He's not calling prosperous what is only prosperous on this side of heaven. And he's saying the meek are the ones who will inherit the earth. This definition on the screen from the Bible Dictionary tells us what meekness is. We'll talk more about this in the Sermon on the Mount. Meekness is an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances that are wisely seen by the individual as only part of the larger picture. Meekness is not a resignation to fate, a passive and reluctant submission to events, for there is little virtue in such a response. Meekness, those who are meek, will inherit the earth. David is saying he can watch evildoers prosper and know that that's not the end of the story. He can see evildoers take over the land and he can know the land is not theirs, it belongs to God. David knows what it means to have an eternal perspective, to trust in the Lord, to do good. When we are fretting, when we are worrying, when we are filled with anxiety, we are doing what Paul Tripp calls, author, mustache man, he says, when we worry, we are praying to the wrong God. Here's what he means. When we worry, we are thinking that we can solve our problems. If we fret long enough, if we talk it through long enough with ourselves and others, then we will come to a solution. But those prayers are just hitting the ceiling. They are not asking God for anything. In fact, we've closed the door to God. We think we know what's right. We think we can figure it out. But when we are still before him, when we trust in him and do good, he speaks to us. So, when David says, fret not, he says, here's what you can do instead of fretting. You can trust in the Lord and do good. You can be still. You can have an eternal perspective, and you can be meek before the Lord. This is where action happens. Look at all of this giving over and giving up to God, saying, I have been trying to provide for myself. I've been wandering around outside the pen, looking for protection, looking for food, looking for the things that I need. I've been fretting when the good shepherd is right here. I am going to stay in his safe pasture. I am going to delight myself in him. I am going to harvest the Lord's faithfulness. That's where peace comes from. I didn't put this on the screen, but I also want to encourage us. We're talking about praying through the Psalms this summer. I want to encourage us that instead of fretting and praying to the wrong God and trying to solve our problems, this is why we pray without ceasing. I've learned in my life that I can fret or I can pray. There's not a lot of middle ground for me. I'm either fretting or I'm praying. I'm trying to solve it myself or I'm trusting God with it. I'm delighting in the things of this world or I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I want to encourage us to pray about these things. If you, like me, are someone who can't sit still, that frets a lot, that has anxiety over, for me, it's a lot of small things throughout the day, I want to encourage you to start writing those things down and turn them into a prayer. God, I'm going to trust you with this. For me, it is just the everyday things. I need to trust God with my keys. He needs to keep those in safe pasture. But I don't pray about those things. I think it's so dumb. Like, God, you're busy. But he cares for us. He takes care of us. Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious. The Lord is at hand. When you are anxious, through prayers and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the God of peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I've got that committed to memory because the flame of fret is inside of me at all times. And I gotta stomp that thing out and remember the Lord is at hand and that he is a God of peace. Part of fretting is not knowing what to do with our hands, not knowing what to do with our very bodies. How good of God to give us something to do with our hands to worship him. It is fitting that we take communion this morning, that we take the bread and remember his body broken for us, that we take the fruit of the cup of the vine to remember his blood spilled on our behalf. And this is what the Lord has for you in the next 5 minutes. Not just that you would sit and try to think about him instead of what you're going to eat for lunch, or the thing you wish you wouldn't have done last night or this morning. He is going to give you something to hold, something to take into your body, to remember what he has done for you. During this song, the communion elements will be passed out. You can stay in your seat and they'll come by you. We practice open communion here at Grace, which means you don't have to be a member of this church, but do have to be a follower of Christ to remember what he has done for you. Go ahead and collect the elements and then I'll come back up and we'll take them together. On the very night that he was betrayed, Jesus broke bread with his disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please take and eat." Likewise, he took the cup of the fruit of the vine, and giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, spilled for you and the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please take and drink." Please stand with me. Father, we commit our ways to you. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. We put our trust in you as your people. We pray that our lives would give glory to you as you provide everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in grace and taste and see that the Lord is good today. We'll see you soon.